He really does. That's just not a song. That's a fact. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. The Bible says that he called us by name. Amen. I'm glad that the stars are not the only thing he's named. He knows your name. He knows my name. I'm thankful that he does. He knows your situation, too. And I'm glad that God knows our situation. Now, at the close of the service, we have some announcements, and one of the announcements that's going to be brought to your attention is a very important school board meeting tomorrow, and there'll be more said about that at the close of the service. And then we have a young lady who has come forward, Miss Dorcas. Sister Dorcas has said, I'd like to join Fellowship Baptist Church. And so she's going to join the church at the close of the service. She's been saved. She's been scripturally baptized. And I was kind of in jest saying, I think she got baptized 1.5 times, almost twice. But it was just a little poking a little fun. But we're thankful for Sister Dorcas. What a blessing her and Corey have been. Amen. They're a real blessing. And their faithfulness is really a pleasure to watch. Well, I thought about our graduates. And in particular, I always think about our church family. I just want to bare my soul to you. The older I get, the more I realize nothing's going to come out of these services as far as from me if God doesn't help me. I need God's help. You say, well, I'm glad you do, preacher. Well, I do. I'm just as sincere as I know how to be. But now I want to tell you something. You do too. Amen. Would you pray and ask God to help you today? God, help me to stay focused. And as you're praying that, say, God, help my preacher to stay focused too. You know, if we could just get focused for the next 30 minutes, there's no telling what God could really do in our hearts and lives. If we could just get focused. I realize there's a lot going on in our lives. If you're anything like me, sometimes life is a whirlwind, you know, and you just try to figure out where you are in the whirlwind. And so I just pray God would help us stay focused and that our hearts and our minds would be focused on what thus saith the Lord in this moment of time that he's given us together. We'll never get this moment back, brethren. We'll never get it back. Time just keeps moving, doesn't it? It just keeps moving. And so I pray that we would realize that moments are precious. Life is like a vapor. We have to seize the moment. What does God have for me right now? And I realize when you're young at age, you're thinking, well, what will God have for me next year or 5 years from now or 10 years from now or 20 years from now? And there's not a thing wrong with that way of thinking. There's not a thing wrong with that. As long as you remember, the moment that really matters is now, you see. The moment that really matters is now. There's certainly nothing wrong with you thinking about tomorrow and 5 years and planning and looking ahead. There's nothing wrong with that at all. As long as you realize that this is the moment that you have. You're not promised that moment to come, but you have this moment. And so make the most of it. As I was thinking about you, graduates and young people and, well, older people alike, because we're going to talk about a man who, was, as he began, he was a young man, probably in his teens, when the Bible picks up his story here, this prophet Daniel. And then toward the end of his life, he could have been 70, 80 years old. You know, his people spent years in captivity. And Daniel was a government man. God elevated him. And God used him in the government there in captivity. But there were some things about him that stand out, and one thing in particular, and I want you to listen very carefully, because this one thing that I'm going to talk to you about this morning is so important. It's just so important that without it, you're going to really struggle in life. You say, well, I'm saved, and I'm glad. But without this characteristic that I'm going to speak to you about this morning, without this characteristic, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle to hold down a job. So, well, I know my job. I've been trained. Without this characteristic, you're going to struggle. Doesn't matter how much you know. Without the characteristic that I'm going to speak to you about this morning, you're going to struggle on your job. You may even struggle to hold down a job. Without this characteristic, your marriage is going to struggle. Well, I love my wife. I love my husband, and I'm glad you do. But now without the characteristic, the biblical characteristic that we find in Daniel that I'm going to talk to you about this morning that is so, so important, you're going to struggle in your marriage without this characteristic. You're going to struggle in your spiritual walk with God without this characteristic. It's that important. As a matter of fact, your life's going to flounder if you do not have this characteristic in your life. You say, well, preacher, could you tell it to me? It's faithfulness. Faithfulness. I tell you, our world has forgotten that word. It's almost like a bad word anymore. As a matter of fact, a word that's very akin to that word, commitment, is called the C word. Folks are even afraid to use it. They'll use it, all kinds of vulgarity, but when it comes to that word commitment, they'll say the C word. Oh, he's talking about the C word. I'm talking to you about faithfulness, reliability, dependability. You may have all the ability in the world. You see, ability says I can, but faithfulness says I will. There's a big difference. Did you get that? Ability says, I have the ability to do it. I can do it. But just because someone can do it doesn't mean they will do it. As a matter of fact, our world is hurting because of people that can that won't.
Right. Amen.
And so I want to talk to you about not just ability, but about reliability. I want to talk to you about dependability, faithfulness. Faithfulness. I looked in the Webster's 1828, and it says faithfulness, reliable, consistent, constant, not fickle, exact in attending to commands, true to, loyal, firmly adhering to, exact, faithfulness, faithfulness. Are you known by faithfulness? When people think of you, do they think, now that's a person that you can rely on? When that person gives you their word, you can stand on it. You can rely on it. You know, there was a day that man's word meant something, and I'm speaking to a crowd of people that know full well what I'm speaking of. When really a handshake got it done. I mean, just an old-fashioned handshake, because man's word was his bond. Those days are long gone, brethren. Long gone. Even among those who name the name of Christ. Faithfulness. It's a missing ingredient in many people's lives today. Keeping your word. Letting your word be your bond. Showing up where you said you was going to show up. Amen. Doing what you said you was going to do. Committed to something that means something. That's what I find in this man Daniel's life. Let's look at just a few things. Now, I'm not going to go into great detail, but I do want to skim some things I think will be a great help to our graduates in particular, but all of us in general. All right, so what are the requirements of faithfulness? Well, the Bible says it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's required. It's expected out of believers that we be faithful. Faithful. Last Sunday night, I gave you five things that would help your life. I wrote them down here. I hope that you've been tending to it. Read your Bible 15 minutes every day. Pray 15 minutes every day. Ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit. Ask God to help you keep His revealed commandments. And tell God you love Him and desire to love Him more. See, I believe that will build things in our lives. It'll build a close walk with God. You say, well, preacher, I do more than that. Well, God bless you. But that's just a place to start, you see. This is a starting place. You've got to start somewhere. You know what a lot of folks do? Now listen to me. A lot of folks get challenged and they leave a service and they're challenged and their emotions are just running over the top. And they say, you know what? I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do that. And they mean it. They mean they're going to do it. But then, you know, by Tuesday, that's Sunday. By Tuesday, they done weaned off some. By Wednesday, they're doing very little. By Thursday, they're doing hardly none of it. And so don't overload your plate. You know, take small steps to get to where God wants you to be. Now, if you're involved in sin, take one big step and repent of it, confess it, and forsake it. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about finding your way to where you can be faithful and consistent and committed to God and the things of the Lord. See, it's good for us to do that, isn't it, brethren? Amen. It's good for us that we would serve the Lord. Faithfulness. Let's look at this young man's life, and I want to give you a few words under the requirements of faithfulness. I hope you'll write them down. Number one, commitment. Commitment says, I will do it. Look, if you would, in chapter 1. Let's turn back to chapter 1 in the book of Daniel. Chapter 1. By the way, it's a choice. Faithfulness is a choice. When you see someone that's faithful, it's because they chose to be. When you see someone that's not, it's because they chose to be. Amen. So please don't think, well, my situation's different, so I can't be faithful. That's just an excuse. That's just an excuse. We are faithful to the things and loyal to the things we want to be faithful and loyal to. Somebody say amen with me. Help me out, folks. If there's somebody asleep beside you, nudge them. If they don't wake up, take some cold water. No, don't do that. Hey, faithfulness. Faithfulness. Chapter 1, look if you would in verse number 8. Daniel chapter 1, verse number 8. The Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart. I want to talk about that little phrase right there just for a moment. You know this story. That's why I'm not going to go in detail. You know this account. Taken into captivity. The king says, I want you to take some of the choicest of men, young men among that crowd from the tribe of Judah, the tribe of the king's tribe. And I want you to bring them to me. We're going to use them. We're going to educate them in our ways. We're going to use them in this kingdom. And the scripture says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to eat of the king's meat. He wasn't going to drink of the king's wine. He said, I'm not going to do it. Now that word purpose is a very interesting word. Purpose. It means this. It means to stand, to set and plant. It's almost like a football stance. All right? It's like spreading your feet and planting and setting and saying, I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be moved off of this spot. I know what I believe, and I know in whom I have believed, and I'm not changing. You can change my name to Belshazzar if you want, but I'm still Daniel, amen. You can change my name, but you can't change my character, amen. And Daniel said, I'm not going to change. I know what I believe. And I'm not going to change. Would to God that there'd be some of us today that would make that commitment, that vow, be faithful to that and say, I know what I believe, and I'm not going to back up on what I believe. Amen. Amen. Not going to back up. Now, listen, I want you to notice something about Daniel. This is very important. When Daniel purposed, and that's the word I want you to remember under commitment, he purposed. He purposed. He set. He plant. The Bible says, and having done all to stand, stand. Sometimes you just stand, amen. You just stand. The scripture says that in verse number 7, and to whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar. Now, I'm not going to go down through these, but I want to tell you something. Every one of these names that these men had was names for God. Daniel means God is my judge. You know what Belteshazzar means? It means Baal is my protector. So what are they trying to do? They're trying to say, no, it's the world. It's the gods of this world that's protecting you, that's providing for you, that's going to be there for you. I'm going to tell you now, folks, listen to me, young folks in particular, but all of us, the God of this world is against us, not for us. It's God in heaven that is our judge. It's God in heaven that we're going to answer to. I'm not going to answer to the little g God. I'm going to answer to the God of heaven, amen. And you are too. And so we need to live our lives in accordance to that. And Daniel said, I'm not going to back up. You can change my name if you want to, but I'm not eating that meat. He had some conviction. I'm not drinking that wine. He had a biblical reason not to. I'm not going to get into it. But he said, I'm not eating meats been offered to idols. I'm not eating unclean meat. I'm not going to do it. He said, I'm standing on the word. But I want you to notice the attitude. You say, well, I've got purpose, preacher, and you ought to have. But I want you to notice something about Daniel. We'll see this a little later. Daniel had an excellent spirit. Notice what the scripture says, if you would, in verse number 8. It says, and Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, now look at this, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You know, that's a good attitude. He said, I think I'm just going to forgo this. I'm going to request an out on this one. He had the right attitude about it. You know, a lot of times you can have the right belief but the wrong attitude. Amen. And Daniel, he said, I'm going to try the peaceful approach. Right? I'm going to try the peaceful approach. I'm requesting to be excused from the king's table. Don't want to eat his meat. Don't want to drink his wine. And the Bible says that God so honored that in verse number 9 that he had brought Daniel in favor with tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. See, God will work things out when you put him first. Amen. Faithful. Daniel said, I'm committed. I'm committed. Are you faithful? Are you faithful? What are you committed to? The question is not, are you committed? The question is, who are you committed to? Everyone's committed to something or someone. Daniel said, I'm committed to God and his principles. I want to be the same. High school graduates, college graduate, and everyone else in the building today, I hope you'll want to be the same. I want to be committed to God and his word. And I believe you do as well. And if I want to, I can if I choose to. And you can too. You can too. Committed. Committed. Well, the world will try to change you now. Try to change them. Do you see that in verse 7? Try to change you. What's the world trying to change you to? What's the world trying to change you to? The world will want to conform you now. Listen to me. The world will try to get you to buy into the lie. Hear me now. Hear me. To buy into the lie. Woke culture. Cancel culture. You listening? Don't you buy into that. I want to buy into what thus saith the Lord. I want to stand on this. And if it lines up with this, I want to stand with it. If it doesn't, I don't. Amen. Say, well, preacher, they're trying to silence us. Don't you let them silence you. Don't you let them silence you. You don't have to be mean-spirited. You don't have to be obnoxious and cantankerous. But in the spirit of courage, you can stand up and say, I am not going to do it, amen. Not going to do it. Why? Because I purposed in my heart. Notice what Daniel did here. But Daniel purposed in his heart. He made a decision. I can't make a decision for you. I've made a decision for Dale Freeman, though. Amen. And when my children were living with me, I stood with Joshua on the right side of things and said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I encourage every father, every husband in this congregation to do the same. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It's a choice. It's a choice. Make the right choice. Purpose in your heart. Number two, not only is there purpose, but there was a person. Turn over to chapter 2. Say, what was Daniel so adamant about? What got Daniel so fired up, preacher? I mean, what was going on with Daniel? Well, look, if you would. I don't have time to go into it. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He had a dream, and he called his soothsayers and the magicians and sorcerers in. He said, I need you to interpret my dream. And they said, well, tell us what it was. And he said, well, I don't know what it was. And they said, well, we can't do that. You know, and he said, what if you don't? He said, there's a little problem here. I'm going to cut you up and throw you out in the streets. Hey, there's a problem. Amen. And they said, whoa, that's a little harsh. Amen. That's harsh. I mean, you know, no other ruler would do that. And so he said, well, listen, that's the way it's going to be. And so he put out the decree. I want all the wise men. I want them in my dominion. He said, I want them snuffed out. Daniel got word of it. And long story short, Daniel said, I need some time. He said, can you get me before the king? And he got before the king, and he interpreted. God gave him he went to the three Hebrews that was with him. We know him as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he went to them, and he said, listen, he said, we need to pray. This thing's serious here, right? And they prayed, and God answered. Can I tell you, God answers prayer, amen? God answers prayer. I don't think the problem is in the answered prayer. I think the problem is in the ask prayer. We're not asking as much as we used to. Well, the preacher, it doesn't seem like God is answering prayer the way he used to. It might be because God's people are not asking in prayer the way we used to. Right. Ask and you shall receive. That's in the book, brethren. It's still in the book. You have not because you ask not. And so the Bible says here in chapter number 2, look if you would in verse number 19. Then was the secret, I'm in Daniel 2 verse 19, I'm talking about commitment and I'm talking about purpose, but I want to talk to you about a person in commitment. Who do we commit to? What do we commit to? What drives us to make a commitment? What leads us to be faithful? Notice what Daniel did here. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision, and then Daniel stood up and said, I am somebody, I'm the man, I interpreted the dream, you know, clap, stand, just tell me how great I am. That's not what Daniel did at all. Daniel said, I want to give the God of heaven the glory, amen. I want to give the God of heaven the glory. He said, this is not about me, this is about someone much larger than me, this is bigger than I am. Can I tell you, this life as we know it is much bigger than we are. Amen. It's much bigger than us. This church, this ministry, what goes on here, it's bigger than your preacher. It's bigger than any family. It's bigger than all of us put together. This is God's work here, brethren. We're into something big. Listen to me. We're into something eternal. We're into something life-changing. I mean, we could change one life through the Word of God, and it could change a family. It could change a community. It could change a city for the glory of God. That's how big this is. Would to God that some young person today could get that vision and realize if I would serve God with my life, I can make an impact on this world. I can leave a legacy for the cause of Christ. He said in verse number 19, he said, I want to give glory. He blessed the God of heaven. When you're committed, this is who you commit to. I'm not asking you to commit to me. You don't commit to your preacher. You don't commit to someone else. Now, there's nothing wrong with giving your word and keeping your word, but when it comes to this thing of faithfulness, you be faithful to God. You say, well, I guess we better run on down there to the church for the preacher. Now, you're not coming to church for the preacher. I'm glad you're here. Gives me someone to preach to, someone to love on, some people to pray for. I'm glad you're here. But now, you're not here for me. You're here for the Lord, first of all, and then you're here for yourself. It's for your good that you're here. It's a good thing you found your way to the house of God this morning. Amen? Amen. If you realize that, you'll just keep coming back. So commitment, it's a purpose. It's a person. And then turn to chapter 6. It involves praise. Chapter 6, Pastor BJ read in your hearing, in verse number 3, Daniel had an excellent spirit. That word excellent there means excelling, abundance. It's something. You know, there's a phrase, and I looked it up. You see verse number 3, let's read verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes. You see that word preferred? What a word. I'm going to give you a challenge. I want you to go home and look this word up. Now, I'm going to tell you what it means, but I want you to look it up. It's going to change your perspective on some things. It really is. Now, from time to time, we have some young ladies, I hope it's young ladies, that wear clothing that has these little sparkly glitters on them. I hope it's young ladies. And it gets into chairs. I've got some on me right now. I have. Glitter. Hate glitter. Can't stand it. That stuff gets on me and I can't get it off. I mean, how many of you know what I'm talking about? You sit in a chair, you get a card with it and you just kind of, you handle it like it's some kind of bomb or something. You know, you're so afraid it's going to fall. And it always falls off. Gets on your hands and you try to shake it off. It gets on your clothes and you try to wipe it off and it spreads. It's glitter. It's a terrible thing. I'd like to find out the joker who made that stuff. I got to find him here because he ain't going to be in heaven. Glitter. This word here, I want you to look at it. Verse number 3 of Daniel 6. Then this Daniel was preferred. You see that word? It means distinguished. You ready? Glitter from afar. Look it up. Sparkling. Noticeable. Noticeable. You just can't help but notice it. God has a sense of humor. God is my witness now. I'm sitting in the chair. Things running through my mind. I'm praying. I always pray, God help me. I don't want to mess up. These people, some of these folks drove an hour here. God, I want to give them something. I don't want to get up and flop. I want to honor you, Lord. I want to honor you. I want to help your people. And I'm sitting there, got all, you know, these things going through my mind. I look down on my coat, and there's a piece of glitter. And I'm thinking, where did this come from? That's a sense of humor. I'm trying to get it off, and I can't. Maybe you look, you've seen me up here doing this. I'm thinking, that stuff won't come off. Glitter. It's noticeable. See, this is what God's saying about people that are faithful. They stand out. They stand out. Look at it again in verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. They don't just stand out among the low. They stand out among the high. They stand head and shoulders. They shine. They glitter from afar. Why? Because they're faithful. Why are they faithful, preacher? Well, because they're committed. They made a choice. Because they have purpose. There's a person involved. This is about God. This is a high calling we're involved in. And then he said this. Look, if you would. He said, it's about praise. Daniel was a young man of praise because an excellent spirit was found in him. You know why he glittered? He had a great spirit about him. What do people say about your spirit? Brother Brian, he's got a blank spirit. Right? And Brother Pete, he has a blank spirit. Somebody's going to say something about your spirit. They are. What's people say about your spirit? What's people say about my spirit? Can I tell you that they noticed Daniel had an excellent spirit? Don't do it while I'm preaching because I'm about to wrap it up. But if you'll go back to chapter 5, the queen came in and she told the king, hey, there's a young man in the kingdom. He has an excellent spirit. He got before the king and the king said, I hear that you have an excellent spirit. Amen. Word gets out when you have an excellent spirit. It does. An excellent spirit. You know what an excellent spirit does? An excellent spirit looks above. An excellent spirit doesn't murmur and complain about everything. Right? An excellent spirit doesn't find the fault, it finds the good. An excellent spirit sees God's way and God's will in things. An excellent spirit. So I want to have that. And I believe you do too. I want to have an excellent spirit. I gravitate to people with an excellent spirit. You do too, whether you realize it or not. We do not gravitate to people who are always complaining, telling us everything that's wrong with them, with us, with everything. You do not gravitate to people like that. Right? Listen, I want to have an excellent spirit, and I believe you do too. An excellent spirit. You know, some people are always negative. Can I encourage you to work on that? If you're negative, now I'm not saying I don't have anyone in mind, but in a crowd this size, there might be somebody in here negative. I don't know. It's possible. Would you work on that? I read the story this week of a farmer who had a very negative neighbor. Every time he brought up something, his neighbor found the downside to it. He'd go outside and he'd say, man, isn't this beautiful sunshine God has given us? He said, yeah, but if it keeps shining like this, it's going to burn the crops up. The next day it's raining. My, hasn't God given us a refreshing rain? Yeah, but if it keeps on like this, it's going to drown the seed out. I mean, no matter what he would say, his neighbor would find something to complain or murmur or something negative about it. So he took him hunting one day, duck hunting, Brother Greg. He took him duck hunting one day. Where's Morgan at? Amen. He didn't take Morgan with him. Took him duck hunting one day. Got on his little boat, took his dog with him, and his going to weigh it out a little bit, took his neighbor with him, and saw a couple of ducks and shot them. Looked over at his neighbor, and his neighbor just looked back at him, and he said, "Fetch!" He sent his dog to go get the ducks. He had trained his dog to walk on water. His dog went and got the ducks, came back, nothing wet on the dog but the bottom of his paws. And he's thinking, no way he's going to find anything negative about this. And he looked at his neighbor and he said, "What do you think about my dog?" He said, "Can't swim, can he?" You know, some folks live their lives that way. Now, we laugh at that, and it should be laughed at. But, you know, I don't want to live my life where every time somebody says something, I'm trying to shoot it down or find something wrong with it. But if we're not careful, that's the way we'll live our lives. I don't want to live my life that way. You know, can I tell you, Daniel didn't. You know why? Daniel had an excellent spirit. He was faithful. He was faithful. Let me give you a couple things, and then we're going to close, okay? So number one, requirements of faithfulness, commitment. Commitment in purpose, commitment in a person, commitment in praise. And then consistency. Look at chapter 6 here. You're in there. Look at verse number 10. Now you know the story. Are you committed? Are you faithful? Are you committed to read your Bible every day? Are you committed to walk with God every day? Are you committed to pray? Are you committed to serve God? Are you committed to church? Are you committed to serve? Be committed. Be committed. Be faithful. Not halfway, all the way. What happened to all the way Christians? Amen. What happened to testimony, to fervor, to passion? I'm going to do it for the grace of God. I'm going to do it, amen. I have purpose in my heart. I'm going to do it. It's a choice, brethren. It's a choice. Not only was there commitment, but there was consistency. Look at verse number 10 of chapter 6. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, long story short, they'd come up with something. They couldn't find anything with Daniel, but they found something with his God. They said, you know what? He's committed. He's faithful to his God. We're going to trip him up. And so they, you know what they did? They got the ordinance together. They got the king to sign a decree that no one could pray to anyone for that span of time but to the king. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. Not now, but when you get home, think about the implications that are involved in that. You got a sick child? Can't pray. Your spouse on their deathbed? Can't pray. Well, I tell you, when you get government involved, they'll shut out a lot of things that are needful and necessary. Be careful what you hand over to those that represent you. Amen. And the scripture says here in verse number 10, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open and his chambers toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. But I want you to notice this next statement, because this is the next big thing in faithfulness. As he did aforetime. See, faithfulness just doesn't say, I will do it. Faithfulness says, I will do it again and again and again and again. Amen? What's it take to stop you? What's it take? A decree? A signature? A threat? Right? Daniel said, that's not going to stop me. Amen. Hey, listen, sometimes God will put it to the test. God will say, it's time for you to put up or shut up. You put the rubber to the test of the road, and you see if you're going to do what you propose, and you say in your heart you're going to do. See, Daniel had committed in his heart. He had purpose in his heart. I'm not going to do it. God said, now it's time to let everyone know you're not going to do it. And so he opened his windows, and he said, I'm not going to bow down. I'm not going to do it. So faithfulness is not just commitment. I will do it. It's consistency. I'll do it again and again and again. And then finally, look if you would in verse number 16 of chapter 10. Or 6, I'm sorry. Chapter 6. Faithfulness says I will do it again. I will do it. Commitment. Consistency, I will do it again and again. And then finally, no matter what the cost. Look at verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the dens of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. You say, well, now, preacher, and I have more, but we're going to close it right here. You say, preacher, if I serve God, I'll never be in trouble. The Bible nowhere teaches that. Actually, the Bible says, yea, and they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So you just might find that den of lions. But see, faithfulness doesn't weigh that. Faithfulness says, no, I will do it. I'm committed. But it also says, I'm going to be consistent. I'm not going to do it for a little while, then quit. I'm going to do it again and again and again. I'm going to be faithful. Amen. And then I'm not only going to commit. I'm not only going to do it. I'm not only going to do it again and again and again. I'm going to do it again and again and again, no matter what it costs. If they throw me in the den of lions, I'm going to do it. What's it take to stop you? What's it take for you not to be faithful? What would it take for me to just say, you know what? There's been people, listen, there are people who walk away from the church. They walk away from the Bible. They walk away from God. They walk away from Christianity. What would it take for you to? I pray you won't now. I pray for our graduates. I pray for our young people. I pray for all of us. God, help us not to turn away. Help us not to walk away. Help us to remain faithful in these days. Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, shall there be faith found on the earth. I want to be faithful. But in order to do that, I've got to make some choices. And you do too. Let's stand to our feet. What's your choice this morning? Is your choice to be faithful? If it is, then God will honor it. I don't have time to go through. I hope you'll read sometimes, and you've read the story of Daniel. Surely you've heard it. If you've been saved any length of time, you've heard preaching and teaching. You've read through some of the prophecy. And you know that God blessed this young man. This man had a devotional life. This young man had a commitment in his heart. I am going to be faithful to God and God's cause. I pray that you will.